In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. The last couple of weeks, we've been talking about call stories and discernment. You're welcome, Bob. We started with Samuel, young Samuel, and the reminder that God calls us even when we don't understand what it means. We then went to Jonah, and the reminder that God's call always wins, no matter how much we fight against it. And then last week, we talked about Esther, and the reminder that every person was called by God, every person is here for a purpose, and that nobody was put on this earth by mistake. We've had 2 Sundays worth of visual reminders of how God's call works in the life of this congregation between the installation of officers and the call to serve as leaders in this church and the call to join in a partnership between congregation and pastor with my installation last week. So today we wrap up our call series, our series on call stories, with Paul's call to discipleship. Oh, Paul, who wrote how many letters, who founded how many churches. The important lesson through Paul's call, or conversion, if that's really what it was a conversion story, is that God's call makes us change our actions. So we have Saul. Oh, Saul of Tarsus, who, for lack of a better term, could be called a zealot. Oh, he was zealous, all right. He was zealous in his persecution of Christians. He believed what was taught in the synagogue, and he felt it was his job to persecute those who went against that. He was fervent in his tearing down the name of Christ. He said, well, clearly, he could not have been who he said he was. We crucified him. The Romans crucified him. He had letters patent that gave him the authority, and he specially sought this authority, that he could arrest any follower, anyone he thought would be or was a follower of Christ. Scripture calls it those who were in the way, living in the way of the Lord. So here he is on the road to Damascus, and it's daylight and whatnot, and all of a sudden, bright light, and this disembodied voice calls out. Now our translation in the pew says, Saul, Saul, why are you harassing me? Other translations translate it to say, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting me? He fell to his knees and he said, Lord, who are you speaking? It is Jesus who you are persecuting, who you are harassing. Why are you doing it? Can you imagine being the guys he was with? Can you imagine being the guys that were with Saul out on that road, and all of a sudden you're hearing this booming voice coming from nowhere? But that message isn't for you, so you don't really necessarily understand what's being said. Boy, talk about a conversion experience in their lives. Anyway, so Saul, later Paul, Saul, is sent into the city, into Damascus. He said, you will stay there until you are given further instruction. Okay. Scales covered his eyes, and he was rendered speechless, and he fell to the ground, and, well, he couldn't see where he was going to Damascus. So his traveling companions had to help him get there, as he couldn't see what he was doing. And Scripture says they led him by hand. They said, come on, Okay, it's okay. Come on. And it says, for 3 days he was blind and neither ate nor drank anything. Speaking for myself, I sometimes am a little more like Saul and a little less like Paul. Speaking for myself, I sometimes get a little overzealous. My mother calls it the curse of being a Leo. My grandpa, whose birthday was 18 days before mine, used to go, yep, you got to watch that. Sometimes we get a little overzealous in our wrongness. We get to the point where we are unwilling to listen when God is calling us to go do something different than what we are doing. We get a little unwilling to give others the benefit of the doubt. We become blinded by our own desire to spread the news of the world rather than the gospel and the good news of the gospel. Try this on for size. How many times do we see something on Facebook and right here we agree with it, and right here we feel the need to share that without going and fact-checking? And instead of giving the benefit of the doubt and following where God's leading in our heart, we follow the call of the world to share the news that the world would have us share. I had a friend who shared a post, which normally I let these things go by and I don't comment on them, but this one was so blatantly wrong and it was in my field, so I could go, not exactly. He shared a post about, the good old King James Version of the Bible and how it was a terrible translation, and that if you people who believe that a terrible translation of a translation, that's not faith, that's insanity, and I had to correct him. And it's like, well, first of all, the King James Version was not translated by 8 men. It was translated by 6 committees of 7 to 10 men, and the people who worked on the New Testament, there were 17 of them. Here's their names. And yeah, it has its faults, but this is why it still is true to us today. He thanked me for the insight. And I didn't say it, but I said, you could have looked up King James Version on the Wikipedia and found that information, because as a church history professor told me one time, nobody's going in and changing the Wikipedia pages on the ancient church history stuff. It's the only class I ever took in all the years I was in school where I could use Wikipedia as a source. Amen? Anyway, but we get in that mode, and I find myself, speaking for myself, I find sometimes that I'm more like Saul and less like Paul, in that I am unwilling to stop long enough to say, wait a minute, maybe that other person has a point. I'm unwilling sometimes to stop and say, wait a minute, maybe that other person just needs an extra measure of love, and the way they are acting is them really asking me to love them as I love myself and to love them as I love my Lord. So God's call often makes us change our ways. So we go back to Saul, who was struck blind, scales over his eyes, not eating, not drinking anything, sitting in the dark in Damascus. And then we get Ananias, who was a faithful Christian disciple. He was one of the pre-Paul, post-Jesus church planting, spreading the good news of the gospel. And here comes the risen Christ, come talk to Ananias. And Christ says, Ananias, I need you to go and seek out Saul. And he needs you to explain to him who you are, because he can't see you right now. And I need you to put your hands on him and do a little healing in my name. And I'm sure Ananias went, Lord, are you nuts? Are you outside your brain? Do you not know what he's been doing down here? He persecutes us Christians. I personally do not want to go to prison. Young man, I told you to go find him and lay hands on him. Okay, God. Okay, all right. Saul's reputation preceded him. He was notorious. He was a zealot. He was infamous for persecuting people who were not like him, who did not believe like him, who did not believe what he believed. Here's Ananias, who was one of those disciples who was calling people to live in the way, to be beacons of light, to follow Christ's example. Ain't it great when God says, dude, you got to do something that's rough? So Ananias went, and he met with Saul, and he told him what Jesus had said, and he touched him. And through that miracle, the scales fell from his eyes, and Saul believed. How wonderful would it be if all it took for one to believe was to have a believer reach out and touch them? Saul did a 180 in his overzealousness. He went from being a zealot for persecuting Christians to being a zealot for helping people find Christ. He became a zealot for planting churches. There's some debate about how many letters in the New Testament he actually wrote, but let's face it, he wrote the big ones, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Romans, Galatians, and the like. Most of the book of Acts is about his life and the things that he did after his conversion. He became a zealot for the Lord. Ooh, there's some old-timey language. Remember that back? There was a split in the Presbyterian church over it in the 18-somethings, the 1800s, 1900s. Because Presbyterians used to do tent revivals, and the more stodgy, frozen Presbyterian cheese type Presbyterians didn't believe you should go to the Lord like that. Paul did it. Now, I'm not saying that we should necessarily go out and you know, do the wailing and gnashing of teeth and the whatever, though it might be fun to dance up and down the road with a tambourine. But maybe we should do and be more like Paul. Less Saul, more Paul. I need to work on this too. It's my Lenten devotion this year. He became zealous for spreading the good news. And I think we can do the same. We're given the chance. We are given the chance. We are encouraged, even, to change our ways for the better. So maybe that's being that listening ear. Maybe that is, instead of proclaiming the bad news of the world, we maybe should focus on proclaiming the good news of the gospel. Christ is risen. Shout Hosanna. Jesus loves you, and so do I. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You're welcome. You're needed. You're wanted. You're special. You're important. You are not here by mistake. Maybe it's making sure that not just Christopher and Miles and Lucy and Caroline know what the gospel is, but that they know that it's their job too to share it. Right, guys? Peter still teaches. My pastor Peter. And it stuck with me since my confirmation class, and I know he teaches it every year, that the gospel is one generation away from extinction. So if we're not out there preaching it, if we're not out there living it, if we're not out there being zealous for it, We're not teaching these guys that it's theirs to share too. And we got nothing. Each of us is called. And if you didn't learn another thing from these 4 weeks, it's that each of us is called. We were called into existence. We are called into a purpose. You are not here by mistake. You are not here by mistake. I am not here by mistake. Bob is not here by mistake. Tom's not here by mistake. We've got 1 week. We've got Transfiguration of the Lord next week, which we'll get into that. And then we're into Lent. And so as we get ready for Lent, as we get ready to prepare to remember what Jesus did for us, remember these things. That we need to seek to listen when we do not understand. We need to go where we are called to go without argument. We need to remember that we are called for specific reasons. That each of us has a specific call. That each of us has a specific purpose. And we need to be open to being changed by our calls for the better. May the God who called you and me keep us ever in his hand. Amen.